Lord, to the 11th Psalm. Psalms 11. And here the psalmist says, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple, and the Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous, the Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright." Lord, thank you this morning we have the opportunity to come and assemble here in your house of worship. And Lord, we pray today, Lord, that as we bow before your presence and we worship you in song today, and now as we look into your word, that you might receive our worship today. And Lord, today we might leave this place knowing that you've been amongst us. Lord, I pray this morning as we look into your word and you would speak to our hearts and give us what we need in this hour. And for all that you do, we'll praise Jesus. In his blessed holy name I pray. Amen and amen. One day a man was walking in a park and he came upon a man who was sitting upon a park bench and he had his hands down and just nearly in tears. And the man said, "What's the matter?" And he began to tell him, and he said, "Well, you might as well cheer up. It could get worse." The man said, "Well, I guess you're right." And he got up, put a smile on his face, and this took off. About 2 days later, the man was walking in the park again. He saw the same man. This time he was sitting on this bench just sobbing away. And he said, "I thought I told you to cheer up. It could get worse." He said, "I did, and it did." So sometimes, even if we do cheer up, things do get worse this morning. But David here in our Psalms 11 is going to talk to us a little bit about that. We find that this particular psalm was written either when David was running from Saul, or when he was being chased by Saul, or when Solomon had taken the throne away from David. I can't tell you exactly when. Scholars are divided upon that today, but when you realize what David was going through in this time of his life, it gives a lot more meaning this morning to these words that we read in this psalm. And David here, as he begins this psalm, he says a very simple thing. He said, "In the Lord put I my trust." David said, "I'm in the Lord's hands. He's my rock and he's my redeemer. He's my help and healer. He's my Lord and my deliverer. And so I just put myself in the hands of God. I'm in God's hands and I trust him with my life." That's a great thing to be able to say this morning. That I put my life in God's hands. That I trust the Lord with the most precious thing I have, my life and my soul. But you see, somebody else comes along, and sometimes these folks come along as they did with Job, and here comes a group of David's friends to give him a lot of advice. Sometimes we can get a lot of advice today, can't we? Not all of it's always the great advice. And what is the advice that these people begin to tell David to do at this time in his life? Well, they say, flee. Run away this morning. Get away from here. You see, he said that you need to flee as a bird to your mountain. Just get away from here. Flee. Fly away. Why? "For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright and hard." He said they're already poised to kill you, David. They're just like an archer who has already bent his bow and pulled it back and got the arrow ready to launch. When I read that, I think about some of the old movies that I've seen of warfare in primitive times when the archers would be there and they'd seem like they'd have at least 1,000 of them, and they would tell the archers to prepare to fire, and they'd kneel down and they'd hold those bows up and pull that arrow, and they'd wait until the command, and then they would rain arrows down upon the enemy. And they would shoot to kill anything in their path. That's kind of what David is being told here. That the archers are prepared. The arrows are ready to launch, David. You better get out of here before one of them hits you straight through the heart this morning. You know, they're saying to David, hey, what you need to do is quit and don't serve God anymore. You don't need to be serving the Lord. It's just getting you into trouble. It's just causing all manner of problems in your life. Just because you're serving God. Look, what has it got you, David? It's got you on the run. It's got you being hunted down. So just quit, David, and don't do that anymore. You know, they see the same thing, I think, maybe times happening in our time. People are really telling us today in a lot of different ways that don't serve God anymore. Not the God of the Bible. I read a sermon by an old preacher many years ago, back in the early 1900s. And not long ago, I read a sermon that he wrote many years ago and preached. And the title of the sermon was, "The God That Nobody's Mad At." And I see that God emerging in our society today, this morning. We find that in our time, the God that of the Bible is being vanquished. The God of the Bible is being put away today. And people are today serving the God of self-esteem and the God of gold and greed and lust and desire. In Jeremiah chapter number 7, God directed Jeremiah to go down and stand outside the temple door. And he said, when people come out, Jeremiah, you tell them they're in there worshiping, but they're not worshiping me. They're not doing, and their actions are betraying them. And the things that they're doing are not what I've told them to do. And they're not obedient to my word, and they're not obedient to my spirit. They think they're having a good time and they're having a high old time and going down to the house of worship, but they're not serving the God of the Bible. I believe we see a great deal of that happening in our world this morning. I read this week in the paper that the United Methodist Church is about to have another debate over pastors who are pastors in the United Methodist Church who are marrying same-sex couples this morning. I don't understand that. What debate is there today? How can you even debate such a thing? Why today would we have a debate of where it's right or wrong? God's already said that it was wrong this morning. God said that that's an abomination. But yet we have people today that want to serve a God that's not the God of the Bible. And they don't want to take any heat. And so they say, well, we'll do anything we can to keep people coming to church, to keep the government out of our hair, to keep us from being branded fanatics and lunatics. And we're compassionate, courageous people. And therefore, we'll do whatever it takes. That's not the God of the Bible today. But we're seeing that played out in our world this morning. And I believe that's what's happening in many times today. People are telling God's people today and quit, flee, run. You better get scared. You better be afraid of what might happen to you today. And you see, they ask a question in verse number 3. That's a very familiar verse of scripture to you, I would imagine, this morning. They say, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God's foundations are being destroyed. And it's going to crumble out from under you, David. You're going to fall down and be destroyed. You know what David's answer was? Well, it's in verses 4 through 6. Very simply said in verse number 4, the Lord's in his holy temple. God knows what's going on. You see, Paul give the New Testament answer in the book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 2. And listen to what Paul says as he writes to this young pastor, Timothy, and he's giving him advice of some things. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 17, he said, "And their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." Paul, in his day, was already seeing heretics. He was already seeing those who were denying the word of God, who already, in that hour, replacing God with something else. You know what Paul's answer to that was? Nevertheless, doesn't matter what anybody says, doesn't matter what anybody does, understand this, the foundation of God standeth sure. God's foundation standeth sure. That is the only sure foundation there is. Jesus described it in Matthew chapter 7 as building your house upon the rock. And the foundation of God for all of eternity will stand sure. And the foundations of God cannot be destroyed or demolished this morning. Sometimes we think that maybe things are not going to be exactly like we want them to be. And, you know, sometimes this morning we realize that life is a struggle at times. But the foundation of God stands sure. When I was growing up, many years ago, one of the popular songs of my time was "Bad Moon Rising." I didn't understand what they were really talking about. I just kind of liked the song and the music. Now, through the years, I've come to understand they were trying to make a political statement, I suppose. But, you know, sometimes I look around, I guess we could say in all of our lives, there's a bad moon rising. I talked to a friend of mine not long ago, and I called him on the phone. He had had shoulder surgery about a month before I had mine last year and had a lot of trouble with it and wasn't able to ever get his arm where he could pick it up or do anything, and they were considering doing a lot of things, and he'd been doing some therapy, and if they didn't get that fixed with therapy, they were going to have to go back in and surgically repair it, and said he'd be in a lot of intense pain. But I hadn't heard from him, and well, on top of that, then he developed some heart problems, and they couldn't do that till they got the heart problem. And I had heard from him in a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, so I called him the other night. He answered the phone, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Well, not too good." I said, "What happened?" He said, "You nobody called you? You heard anything?" I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I was over in Jasper, Alabama working." And he said, "On Thursday, I was coming out of the motel." And said, "I come down the stairs," and said, "I got to the bottom step and missed the step." And he said, "I started stumbling, and a tree jumped out and hit me." And he said, "I slid down the tree." And he said, "Broke my glasses, took 17 stitches in my head." Said, "I'm laying there," and said, "some complete stranger came out of the restaurant and was next door to the motel and got him and took him to the emergency room." And, of course, he called his wife, and she came and got him, her and their daughter. And he just got home from the hospital, and I said, "Well, what else is the matter?" And he said, "Well," said, "my right shoulder, the one I had surgery on, said I broke it in 3 places. And said, I broke my left hand, said, all I got's 2 fingers I can use." And I said, I'm going to hang up. You done depressed me. Talked to him a couple of days ago, and he's doing a lot better. But, you know, you never know when you get up in the morning what's going to happen to you, do you? Sometimes life is tough. And you know what, folks will sometimes say, hey, why are you even serving the Lord? Bad times and bad things come, and sometimes even terrible things. What do we do during those times? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I think Paul gives us some instructions here. And you look at Paul's attitude here this morning, and you know, usually what matters more than anything else would be our attitude. Notice what he said in verse number 8. He said, we are troubled on every side, but yet not distressed. Paul said, I'm troubled on every side. The word trouble really literally means pressed. It's probably some of you here are old. I know some of you old enough to remember. When I was growing up, we didn't have washing machines that you just walk in, throw your clothes in, and punch a button and walk off and leave it. My grandmother had an old wringer or a washing machine. I don't know if some of y'all seen them, hadn't you? Know? And she was the only one in the community, and everybody, all them women, had come down and they'd wash clothes on a certain day. Had to heat the water in an old black iron pot. My job was to heat the water and pour it in there. And the first old machine they had, you had to hand turn that wringer, and I got to be the guy that turned the wringer. One day we moved up. We got one of them things that the motor turned the wringer too. My grandma was saying, now don't you get your hand in that thing. It'll mash your fingers off. I said, okay. She said, I'm telling you now, look here. About that time she got her hand caught in that thinking wringer. We had to turn the thing off and take the rollers apart and get her fingers out. Didn't break them. Made her mad. I'm not going to tell you what she said. Sometimes that's the way life is, isn't it? Paul said we're pressed. We're just being pressed and pushed down, and everything just seems so much intense pressure upon us. He said every direction you look. You know, you think maybe I can go this direction, but there it is again. The proverbial, the rock and the hard place this morning. Everywhere you turn, there's something causing trouble. But Paul says, I'm not distressed. He said, I'm not crushed. They hadn't crushed me yet. See, sometimes we're pressured to the point that people are trying to pressure us so much they want us to crack. They want us to give up. Yeah, uncle. You know, sometimes it's just like we're in a frying pan and it seems like you pop out and hit the fire. And you're troubled on every side. You're pressured on every side. And everything just seems like it's just life. It's just about to choke you to death. And if one problem is solved, two more pop up. And you're just crushed and crushed. Paul said, hey, that's the way I am sometimes. But he said, I'm not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. He said, sometimes I'm confused. That's what the word perplexed means. It's kind of like being a termite in a yo-yo. Don't know which way to turn, do you? Sometimes we don't understand things. I don't always understand what's going on, to be fair with you today. Years ago, I heard an old preacher say that if Jesus came to visit him and ask him what he could do for him, he said, sometime I'm so confused I couldn't even tell him what I needed him to do for me. You know, sometimes it is confusing. Why does God allow these things? Why does God not just give us a perfect life? Why do we have to undergo and endure a lot of these things this morning? I have a lot of questions sometimes, and sometimes life is so confusing. Why? But he said, I'm not in despair. He said, I don't know, but it really doesn't depend upon me. I may not know, but the Lord knows. I'm glad this morning I don't know time, but I can always assure you the Lord knows. And that he's leading me in the right direction. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, you read that psalm and you begin to see the Lord as the shepherd, what he does for the sheep today. Thank God this morning we may not always know the answer. We may not always figure out what's happening. And sometimes it is confusing. But thank God we've got somebody that does know the answer, knows where he's going, and knows what's going on today. Persecuted, but not forsaken. That word literally means pursued, and it means something hunted and always on your trail. God is always on our trail. You know, this feels like you can never shake it off. They're always there, and the dogs are baying at your tracks. And you're running, and you're running, and you're pursued, and you're pursued, and you're just like an animal being chased by a wild pack of dogs. And you wonder, when's it going to end? Paul said, I'm persecuted, but not forsaken. Well, I'm glad we're not forsaken this morning. You know, sometimes we talk about the Great Commission. And when you look at the Great Commission and Jesus is giving it, those disciples are commanded to go into all the world and make disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. We talk a lot about the Great Commission, and nothing wrong with the Great Commission this morning. But I think sometimes we fail to realize the great words that he told his disciples and that are relevant for us today. He said, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad that he's always with us today. He didn't say, I'll just be with you up to 1990 or 99 or 2000. I'm with you always until the end of the world. I'm glad we've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that'll never leave us nor forsake us. Several years ago, when I was in California, my best friend was a guy by the name of Bob Neves. Bob had about half eye, had a patch over that eye he wore a lot of times. And he is meaner than a junkyard dog. One day I was outside, and the guy that lived next door to me, he and I were talking, and we saw this bicycle coming down the street. And so the guy that lived next door, he had a box of matches. You know, I don't know why boys just have things sometimes. And he went to lighting those matches and throwing at that guy on the bicycle. We thought it was somebody else, but it wasn't. And he whirled that bicycle over, jumped off that bicycle, and he, pop, the guy next door, and he just laid out there on the ground. I thought, I'm next, but I ain't going to stay here. I took off. And we get to school the next day, and I see this big guy coming. He comes walking up, and he looks at me, and he looks at Neves, and he said something, and Bob said, he's my buddy. You mess with him, you mess with me. He said, no problem, and left. Glad I had somebody with me. But I want to tell you, I'm greater this morning. Glad I always got somebody with me today. Never forsake us. Paul said, I'm persecuted. Somebody's always chasing me. Somebody's always trying to do me harm. But thank God, I'm never forsaken. The world may forsake me. Demas may forsake me. Everybody else may forsake me, as he said, told Timothy. No man stood with me, he said, but the Lord stood with me. I'm glad we got somebody that never forsakes us this morning. Cast down. But not destroyed. Paul said, I've been knocked down. You know, we can usually handle minor or moderate trouble that comes our way. But what happens when everything begins to get really severe? Sometimes our plan don't work, does it? When I was growing up, my dad was a big boxing fan. He always liked to watch boxing. That was what he, and his favorite heavyweight fighter was Rocky Marciano. Retired undefeated as a heavyweight champ, the only one that's ever done that. I remember just a little boy. He'd fight these folks, and he was fighting somebody, and after he knocked him out in about the second round, they said to Rocky, well, this man said he had a plan to take you out. He said, what happened? He said, everybody's got a plan till I hit them in the mouth. You know, we can have all the plans in the world, but sometimes we get hit in the mouth hard enough, our plans go awry, don't they? I mean, maybe the chemo didn't work, or maybe the recession got our savings, or maybe this morning something else happened in our lives and some other tragedy that we just weren't planned to handle. We're cast down. We're knocked down. But not destroyed. Not defeated. Not defeated. This morning, sometimes it seems like everything's going against us. What do we do? What David said, trust in the Lord. John Newton wrote that wonderful hymn, Amazing Grace. One of the stanzas said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Hallelujah, this morning. We may go through many dangers, toils, and snares, but God's grace is always there with us this morning. I'm simply saying to you today, as David said to those of his time, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. The only thing I can tell you, God's still in the holy temple. I've still got my trust in him, and I'm going to stay with God. Because you better stay with the Lord today. Because he's the only one with the answers. He's the only one today that can do what you need done in your life. He's the only one today that can give you comfort and strength when you need it. Whatever you need, the Lord can do for you today. He can save your soul. He can revive your spirit. He can put a bounce in your step. He can do whatever you need today. But my focus today is very simply to tell you this. Trust in the Lord and put your trust there, and it'll turn out okay. We may go through those dangers, toils, and snares, but thank God today, if we're trusting in God, he'll lead us safely home. Amen. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, and come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message. You're the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his wonderful, holy name I pray. Amen.